recently, there's been a story from Scripture that's continued to be revealed to me when I've been praying for others. And I'm wondering, is that a word in season? Perhaps it's a word for someone in the house today. So if you're taking notes today or you're watching us online, good morning and welcome to you also. The title of our session today is Walking Through the Wilderness. Walking Through the Wilderness. We're going to look at a well-known story today, way back in the Old Testament from 1 Kings. And it's about Elijah in the wilderness, or should I say specifically, Elijah at the Kerith Ravine. So as I've said, I've met quite a few people recently that I have encountered, and they have said that they feel this exact way. That they feel that they are in the wilderness right now, that they are going through a barren season. And I wonder if that is you today. I wonder if you feel that you are in the wild, out in the wild right now. Yes, it may be springtime, although you wouldn't think that with the weather this week. But springtime is that time of year where you get that little bit of warmth in the air, where the flowers start to bloom. But perhaps that's not emotionally or spiritually where you find yourself right now. Perhaps you find yourself right now in a cold and perhaps a dark season. Well, if that is you, then you've come to the right place today, because we're going to look at today how to safely navigate through this season. Walking through the wilderness. The first thing to note there is that I said that we are walking through the wilderness. That's good news for us today, church. That means that we're going to come out of it. Praise the Lord. If you're in a winter season right now, if you find yourself in the wilderness right now, the good news is you're going to come out of it. Amen. Let's declare it. We're going to come out of it. I also said that we're walking through it. We're not running. We're not racing through it. Why? Well, there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn in the wilderness. God wants to teach us. He wants to share with us precious revelations and truth in these seasons of our life. Trust me. So we will come through it, but we won't go through it at our pace. We're going to go through it at God's. And that can cause us a bit of frustration at times, can't it? Because we can become impatient, let's be honest. We can become impatient during these seasons of our life. I want it to be over, God. That's natural. I don't want these harsh conditions right now. I want the pain to stop. But we're going through it at God's pace, and we're learning as we go. So I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that finds themselves in the wilderness. Perhaps it's starting to get you down. Perhaps you're starting to feel a bit weary, impatient, anxious, lonely, afraid. These are the emotions that we experience when we're in the wilderness. So as I've said, we're going to turn our attentions this morning to one of the prophets in the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. And the primary role of the prophets in the Bible, as we know, was to speak the words and the will of God. We heard all about the will of God last week. They acted as God's mouthpieces, God's megaphones, if you like. And often the word that they would deliver would be a stern word of warning and of caution. Yes, they did speak words of encouragement and of leadership, but quite often it was a word of warning. Return, return to the Lord. Turn away from your sin, therefore, was not an easy job. The role of the prophet was not a comfortable one. They had a massive responsibility. They faced many, many trials. In fact, if we fast forward to the New Testament and to the Apostle Stephen, this is what the Apostle Stephen said to the Jewish leaders about the prophets. He said, "Was there ever a prophet that your ancestors did not persecute?" They were persecuted. They were in the firing line. They were often misunderstood. Quite often, folk would walk past them in the street and ignore them. And Elijah, like the others, like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, you know them all, they experienced the highs and the lows of their calling of ministry. And if you're here today and you're a pastor or an elder or you're in any form of church leadership, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, the highs and lows of ministry. So our friend Elijah, he experienced the defeats. He also experienced victories. He had moments of great faith. He had moments of doubt. He endured through the good times and through the bad. So in many ways, a bit like us. I'm sure you're here today and you can testify to the highs and the lows of your life. And what's true of Elijah then and what's true of us today, no matter whether you find yourself on the mountaintop today, no matter whether you find yourself in the valley today, or whether you're here and you're on the battlefield today, what was true of Elijah's day and what is true today is that God is faithful. He remains faithful no matter what season you find yourself in right now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He remains faithful to his children. So let's take a look at Elijah now. If you've got your Bibles with you, I've got mine, you may want to turn with me now to 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." We heard this from Pastor Hugh not so long ago. So what happens next then? Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Amen. May God bless the reading. So the first thing we read there is that Elijah was a Tishbite that came from Tishbe. That's a bit like saying, here's Gordon, he's a Glaswegian that comes from Glasgow. I'm in trouble. Tishbite, in the Hebrew ancient, I couldn't help myself. In the Hebrew ancient language means wanderer. And Tishbe is an unknown place that wasn't even on the map. So many commentators have suggested that Elijah was in fact a nobody from nowhere. A nobody from nowhere. He's just an ordinary man. Have you noticed that God is not in the business of choosing somebodies, of choosing those that have it all together? Put your hand up if you've got it all together. Shouldn't see any hands in the house. None of us have it all together. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. He's not in the business of choosing somebody's. If we read our Bible, we'll read that he chooses fishermen and carpenters and farmers. He chooses ordinary wanderers from nowhere to be his disciples, his prophet. So don't think if you're here today and you've never been to Bible school and you don't know every chapter in the verse in the Bible that God can't use you, because that's a lie of the enemy. God can use you. God equips those that he calls, let me tell you. He chooses who he desires. He chooses you for a purpose. So Elijah may have come from nowhere, but God was taking him from nowhere and he was taking him somewhere. Amen. And he might have been known as the Tishbite from Tish, but he actually had a name. His name was Elijah. And that name means Yahweh is my God. Now there's a name. There's a name to be proud of. There's a name to answer to. You see, some of us need to stop answering to the old names. The old names that were spoken over you. That you were a nobody. that you are going nowhere, or that you are dirty, or that you're unclean, or that you're unworthy. Some of us need to stop answering to those names and answer to your true name, which is that you are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are a child of God. That is your name, and it's time to answer to that name. Elijah was a prophet. He was a prophet called by God. He was given a message. He was commanded to go to King Ahab and to tell King Ahab that there would be no rain. No rain for the next few years. And only at Elijah's word, which was given by the word of God, would that change. Now you need to grasp the character of King Ahab to fully understand the complexity and how dangerous this assignment, this mission was. This was scary. If we go back a chapter to chapter 16, we read in 1 Kings what kind of man Ahab actually was. It says there that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were king before him. And there were some evil kings. But not only was King Ahab evil, you know this, he had a wife that was even more evil. So we've got king and queen evil. And here we have Mr. Nobody from nowhere going to King Evil and telling him there's not going to be any rain in your land. Now let me tell you something else about Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel did not worship Yahweh, the one true God. They worshipped Baal. They worshipped the god of the sky. They worshipped the one who they believed controlled the weather. So you can imagine just how angry this evil king was when this wee guy rocks up and says, by the way, king, it's not going to rain. Who do you think you are, little man, telling me that my God, the God of the weather, is going to stop the rain? Oh, wait a minute. It's your God, Yahweh. He was furious, absolutely furious. So the battle is on between Yahweh and Baal. Who's going to win, your God or mine? And perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like you're in a battle. Perhaps you're tired with the battle. Perhaps you're battle weary. You're exhausted with the fight. Maybe it's a personal battle for you, a health one, a financial battle, a relationship battle. Maybe it's the battle that goes on in here that so often can plague us. Well, let's look at what happens in this story. Let's look at what takes place at this point of battle. Well, there's a lot that actually takes place. The whole rain saga continues, and you can read all about that in your own private time. But what I want to concentrate on this morning, and what I'm interested in this morning, is what takes place immediately after this encounter that Ahab has with King Ahab. You see, what happens after this encounter, this exchange, is that Elijah goes and hides out in the wilderness. Elijah's walk through the wilderness. That's what we're looking at. So the passage tells us that in verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and commanded Elijah to go east of the Jordan. To go east of the Jordan was to go into the wild. Why? What's taking place? Well, Elijah's in big trouble, isn't he? It's dangerous. His wee knees will have been knocking. He was in danger. And God provides a way out. Amen. Because he never lets go of you. We just sang it earlier. He'll never let go of us. He makes a way for his children. Even when we cannot see the way ahead, I'm sure Elijah in that moment would have been absolutely terrified. But our God, Yahweh, is the way maker. He can part the seas. He can bring down the walls of Jericho. He can move the mountains. Do you believe it? Amen. Now at this point, you're maybe thinking, wait a wee minute. He took Elijah from nowhere He brought him out of nowhere. He gave him this dangerous assignment that quite frankly could kill him. And now he's sending him back into no man's land. What on earth, God, are you up to? Why am I here? I didn't expect to be here right now. And I believe there's someone in the house today, and I believe you've said those exact words this particular week. You've looked to God and you've thought, what on earth are you doing? Perhaps you were in a good place with God. You were going great for God. Things were happening, they were moving. You were on the map with God. Then all of a sudden, you found yourself right now being placed back in the wilderness, and you're unsure of tomorrow. Can I encourage you, as I said at the beginning, don't rush. Don't rush through this time. Don't race through this time, because there is so much to learn walking through the wilderness with God. Now, I know it's hard. The conditions are harsh. You feel lonely. You feel afraid, but don't fight it. Don't fight it, because you won't win. You won't win against God. Instead, here's the encouragement. Surrender. If you find yourself in the wilderness right now, surrender to God. Be still and know that He is God. He's God. For there's so much to hear in the wilderness. But we must be led out at times from the noise and from all the distractions in order to experience it. That's why I believe He leads you out of the noise. That's why I believe He leads you away from the distractions, so that you can be solely in His presence, listening to His voice. You see, the world that we live in today is noisy, isn't it? My house is noisy, and there's so much coming at us. Take the media. It's all coming at us 24 hours a day, every second, every minute of every day. Think about all the noise that robs you of your quiet time. I went quiet there. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, messages, email, text, messenger, WhatsApp. Don't get me started in WhatsApp groups. I mean, let's be honest. How many WhatsApp groups do you have? All pinging all throughout the day. Everything coming at us instantaneously. Noise, noise, noise. Take the way we watch TV today. I'm sure we all watch television. We don't watch a drama like we used to watch a drama. You'd watch the first episode of a drama, and then it would end on a cliffhanger. Do, do, do. And then you would be excited to wait to the following week to watch the next installment of the drama. But no, not now, no. Because let me tell you what happens now. There's this little evil button on the bottom right hand of the screen. It's called Next Episodes. And before you've had a minute to go and find the doofer, that's the remote control, that thing is already downloaded. And before you know it, let's be honest, you know who I'm talking to, you've watched 5 episodes. 5 hours of your life. Come on, Anne McGrady, you know all about this. 5 episodes. 5 episodes. 5 hours. I believe that Satan has invested in some high-tech sound systems, all in an attempt to take us away from spending time with the Father. So Elijah was in the wilderness. Not the first time we see someone being in the wilderness. Moses was in the wilderness, remember? He was sent into the wilderness until it was time to go and free the Israelites. The Apostle Paul, after he had his Damascus Road moment with Jesus, he was sent into the Arabia for 3 years while he was prepared for what was next. It's not time of punishment, church. It's preparation time. Take David, for instance. I've spoke quite a lot about David recently. Spent 2 weekends talking about David. But David was out in the wilderness. David was out in the fields tending his sheep when his big brothers were all off doing exciting stuff. David was in the fields, alone, cold with the changing seasons. David was anointed king one day, back out in the wilderness the next, 20 odd years before he would take the throne. But it's out there in the field, church, where we learn. It's out there in the field where we develop an up close and personal relationship just like David did. It was out there in the field that David learned in the solitude how to praise God. It was out there in the field that David learned how to become a worshiper, how he played his instruments, how he sang those psalms to Jesus, to God. It was out there in the field where he learned how to come up against opposition in the form of the bears and the foxes that would come to steal his sheep. It was out there in the field where he honed his skills and how he used his little sling and his stones that, by the way, would come in handy one day when he came up against the 9-foot giant. It's out there in the field where we learn so much about ourselves, but most importantly, about God. So let's not rush through this time. Let's pause and seek God for what it is he is preparing us for. There's more to learn out in the field, in the wilderness. Now, I know it's difficult. It is difficult. But I've learned that it's in the coming away with God. It's in the solitude and it's in the silence where I've surrendered my time to God. It's in that moment that I've heard him crystal clear, where I've seen him. It's right there in the wilderness seasons of my life where I've discovered that I'm not alone, that God is with me and he's with you. There is beauty to be found in the silence of the wilderness. God's presence changes everything. So how did Elijah respond to this time in his life? How did he respond? What was it about God that he discovered in this season? Because I don't know about you, but if God is working in all things, then I want to know what all those things are, no matter what season it is. So what did Elijah learn about God? Well, we read that he was led to the Kerith ravine. That word Kerith in the ancient language means to cut away. Elijah had to be physically cut away from the world, from the distractions, from the noise crowders and the time bandits, the things that rob us. He had to be cut away so that Elijah could be built back up again. Sometimes we need to pour out before God. Pour out so that he can pour in. Because you can't pour forth if you're pouring from an empty bucket. You've heard it so many times. You can't pour forth if you're in danger. You can't pour forth if you're caught up in sin. You can't pour forth if your mind is crowded with noise and distraction. You can't fully give yourself over to the work of God and building his kingdom if you're distracted, burnt out, weary, caught up in sin. It's impossible. It is impossible. Elijah was cut away so that he could be elevated. God wasn't done with Elijah. God was just getting started, in fact, and it's the same for you. God has got so much more for you. He's got so much more for this church. I believe it. Do you believe it? God can do great things in the wilderness seasons of our life. Why does he do it? Well, he cuts us away so that we may be elevated. He prepares you for what's next. Now, I'm not saying that that's easy. The cutting, the pruning, it's uncomfortable. We might need to face some fears. We might need to look at some pain. We might need to confess and repent and go through that process. But we can be confident that we're never abandoned in that process. When you're going through that process of refinement, let me tell you something. He doesn't abandon you there. Sort yourself out and then come back to me. He doesn't do that. He says, come to me. You're safe in his hands. God is with us. He strips away all that stuff that doesn't belong to you, and what he does is he replaces it with beauty. And that's what takes place in the wilderness. So it was at the Kerith Brook where Elijah was cut away so that he could be elevated, built back up again. He was emptied so that he could be filled. So I wonder, do you find yourself in the wilderness right now? Ask God the question, what do you want to teach me? What might you be preparing me for? Let me encourage you once again. The only way to survive the wilderness is to surrender. Is to surrender to God. You see, you can't choose your wilderness. You can't say to God, I'll take my wilderness season, God, now. I'll take it in between the Christmas holidays and the Easter holidays, because that's my quiet time. Can't do that. It's not like putting yourself into Stobel Castle. You can't say, I'll take my wilderness season right now because, you know, I can cope with that just now. You see, we get annoyed when we're walking through the wilderness. This isn't a good time for me right now, God. I've got too much to do right now, God. There's too much on my to-do list. I can't possibly be vulnerable right now. I can't possibly be still in your presence right now and be vulnerable, because I might cry, but you're actually telling them that while the tears are rolling down your face. You see, God knows you're tired. God knows you're burnt out. God knows you're heading for a brick wall. God knows that you're in danger. He takes us out of that space so that he can heal us. It's not a punishment. I mentioned already, we're walking through it. We're not running through it. We're walking at God's pace. We're surrendering to him. If you choose to fight it, you're only going to be in that place longer. Let me tell you something. You're going to get stuck there, going round in circles, complaining to God at how inconvenient this is. But let me tell you something. The only way to survive the wilderness is to surrender and to obey. So how do we successfully walk through the wilderness seasons? Well, we first of all, we surrender and we obey God. We submit to him and we look to him in the silence. You know, some people don't like silence. They get uncomfortable in the silence. I used to be that person. I used to hate being in a quiet space. I always needed music on. I always needed to be interacting with other people, but I'm not like that anymore. In fact, I'm the complete opposite today, because it's in the silence with God that the beauty appears. It does. We need to come away from all that noise and all those distractions. When we quieten our heart before God, it is then that you will see him and hear him, soaking in the silence. I mean, what might God be trying to teach you right now? What might God be trying to reveal to you right now, but you just can't hear him because of all of that noise? We need to come away. He invites you to come. One of my favorite verses from Song of Solomon is 2 verse 10. It says, my beloved spoke and he said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. There's the invitation. He's giving you an invitation today. Come away with me. So Elijah was in the wilderness because he obeyed God. He submitted to God. He surrendered in the silence. He was agreeing to that space to be poured out to God so that God could fill him up. Let's look at how God poured into Elijah then at the brook. Scripture tells us that God provided food for Elijah to eat morning, noon and night, and he provided water at the brook to quench his thirst. So he's basically having a Nando's or a KFC with unlimited drinks, all provided for him. And God not only was providing sustenance for him and sustaining him through that time, but he was also providing rest because he had waiter service. He didn't have to lift a finger. I'm going to have that this afternoon, family. Not lifting a finger. Because the ravens brought it to him. Why? Because God provides rest. Rest for your weary souls. Are you weary today? Come to God, all those who are weary, and he will provide you that rest. He wants to care for you. He wants to tend for you. You're not in the wilderness as a punishment. He knows you need to come away with him. Come away with him. Allow him to provide for you. He wants to spend time with you. Seeking counsel elsewhere. Is that what you've been doing? Feeding yourself from quick fixes elsewhere. You know what those quick fixes are. God's saying, stop doing that. Come to me. I will provide you rest. I will feed you up in everything that you need. My grace is sufficient for your every need. So do you find yourself in the wilderness? Can I encourage you, as we've heard so far, the only way to survive the wilderness is to surrender. Surrender to God, to obey God, to be still in the silence in his presence, and to allow the master to look after you, to provide for you. What did Elijah learn in the wilderness? Well, he learned how to depend on God. That's what he learned ultimately. How to depend on the provider, Jehovah Jireh. and when the season was over, because this season will come to an end, it will. And when Elijah's season was over, what did God do? God led him out of that season, and he led him into the next season. If you look at verse 7 in that chapter, it says that the Kerith Brook dried up. Now, at first reading that, you might think to yourself, well, does that not mean that the provision is dried up? Does that not mean that there's no water for his thirst? But let me tell you something, he didn't need that anymore because that season was over. He didn't need the water from the Kerith Ravine because God was moving him on to the next season. And not only that, he encouraged him of the next season. He encouraged him that you will go to the widow at Zarephath and she will look after you. So not only is God over the season that you're in right now, but God will be in the next season that you find yourself in. And just as he's with you today, he's going to be with you tomorrow. Because he's the God over the seasons. In every season, we sung it earlier, he is faithful. He is with you. He is your provider. He will take care of you in the next season. But we're not there yet. We're in this season. We're in this season right now. And the band can start to make their way back up now. How do we survive the wilderness? Well, not everyone here today will find themselves in the wilderness. Perhaps you're already in spring. Perhaps you're already in a new season. And if you are, praise the Lord. Praise him. Praise him that he's in this season. Praise him today. Sing praises to his holy name today that he brought you out of that last season. Praise the Lord. But maybe you are here today. Maybe you're here today and like Elijah, you find yourself in the wilderness. Perhaps you've been questioning it. Perhaps you've been feeling alone and afraid. The conditions have been harsh. Perhaps you feel thirsty and dry. Can I encourage you that God is here? That he loves you? And he wants to provide for you. You're not there out of a punishment. Maybe you're there because he wanted to take you away from the noise of this world so that he could look after you, so he could bless you, so he could provide for you right there, rest, sustenance. He wants to feed you up so that you can pour forth and move into your new season. So just as we're coming to a close now, why don't we all close our eyes? Why don't you take a moment before we move into the afternoon and everything that you're going to do this afternoon. The Lord's providing a safe spot for us right now. He's providing a space for you just to be still in his presence. The Lord is here. He knows you by name. He calls you his own. He knows exactly where you're at right now. And perhaps you're here this morning and you feel dry and you feel weary. Perhaps you're here this morning and this is actually a word in season for you because you find yourself in the wilderness. If you find yourself in the wilderness right now and your response to God is, God, hear my cry. Hear my prayer. Provide for me right now, God, where I'm at. Just while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I just want you to raise your hand. If you're in the house, God bless you. You can put it straight back down. Yep, God sees you. Put it back down.